Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Now we're going to discuss the conflict management with the teens again. Well, in the previous episode, first you talked about time. If a teen is spending extra time outside, then go and address it, but in a very polite manner. You also gave us examples. And then you also talked about if your teen is hanging out with a wrong friend and you don't want him to be going on with that friend, the first step you try is that you do not break their friendship bond, but rather you address both the teens, you invite the friend and you discuss the problem you have with him, and then in a very polite manner, for example, they're using a bad language, you tell them, see, this is not the way we have to be, this is not the way we are supposed to be in Islam, and this is not even the rule of our family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So you have to keep your values in the first place,
yeah,
in a very polite manner. Okay, the solution is not to cut off from everything. In a few places, example, it is very important to consider the opposite person's choice.
Yeah? All right.
Why? Because, you know, if the opposite person's choice is not taken into consideration, maybe what's going to happen is, in few places, of course, again, the teen might not listen to you in any of your decisions.
Circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. So in any place, example, the teen might say, okay, I'm going to do it, but will not do it because he really got hurt because you have detached him from his friend, you see?
You directly gave a ruling without even addressing his emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's very important to see his emotional attachment.
Yeah.
You know, in childhood, until bulugh, until a certain point of bulugh, the whole dependency of a child is upon the parents.
Yes.
During the period of teenage or this adolescence, this teenager or this teenage phase, the whole kind of dependency or the emotional attachment, I would say, more better, the emotional attachment is towards a friend. So that's the reason when a teen wants to listen, when you want your teen to do some work, go through his friend.
You got right.
Me? So if you want your child, example, who is 8-year-old, 9-year-old, to do a work, you can directly tell him or her to do it, okay? Of course, a teen will also do, like, will listen to you when you say. But in those places where you're not heard, example, where the parent is not heard, then go through the friend, go through his or her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, the intervention through the friend will work more.
All okay? right.
Anyways, going back over here in this conflict management, you know, educating our teen about conflict management is also very important. For example, it's not always through conflicts that there are solutions. or the conflict is resolved. Yeah. So when you see your teen is going into conflicts, okay, first and foremost, tell your teen, okay, you know what, my dear son, daughter, you know what, we have a lot of ahadith where it is very vital or important for you not to enter a conflict. Example, we have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet says, no servant will fully attain the truth of faith until he abandons conflicts, even if he is right.
All right. That's a very important hadith to ponder upon. So, and we'll discuss more on that after a short break.
Sure.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Brother Liaquat Abbas is here with me in the studio, and we're talking about conflict management with teens and when teens face different conflicts. Well, the point that we are saying that conflict management is not always through conflicts. Conflicts are not resolved through conflicts, and teens have to learn this. So far, we're talking about the parent and teacher intervention, how they can intervene and actually sort out the conflicts. But now the teen himself, the teens themselves, most of the times they feel like if I am resolving this conflict myself in this particular way by doing another conflict, that this is the way, then now my ego is also not hurt. But you said a very important hadith: even if you're right, you're not authorized to enter conflicts.
Yep. So over here, the Prophet says, no servant will fully attain the truth of faith or the kamal or perfection of faith until he abandons arguing, entering into conflicts. Yeah, so he shouldn't abandon it, even if he is right. Now the question rises, okay, in all the places? Of course not. In all the places, you have to see the context, you have to see the scenario.
Yeah.
Example, it's like, okay, once in lifetime example, and it can be like, you can just keep an eye off it. Example, you can just get rid of it, okay, then go ahead, get rid of it. But if it is really something which is bothering you, for you know what, in every person's life, there are conflicts. Example, you get into a taxi, you get into a bus, you get into a train, you're in a university, your school, in your college, whatever, yeah? In your home even, yeah? There are conflicts. And conflicts, I would say, are like kind of a part of life, okay? The important factor lies in how you're resolving it. Number one is you're not getting into a conflict. That is the first step, okay? But if a conflict approaches you, how are you resolving it?
How are you addressing this conflict?
Exactly, yeah. So over here, if you're not entering it, example, okay, now there's a conflict and the person has told you something, okay? You can just get rid of it, okay? Oh, come on, just let's get away from here. After this, I'm not going to see the taxi driver anyway. I'm not going to see him, okay? And the taxi driver's behavior is in this manner, okay? It's another story that you want to do Amr bil Ma'ruf or Nahi anil Munkar. Example, you want to stop the driver from using foul language, example.
Right.
That's another story, okay? But you see that the driver, example, over here, his behavior is in such a manner that he's not going to change. Don't enter the conflict. Just leave him. Because he's not going to listen to you anyway. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. So you're trying to say that sometimes conflicts actually arise when you're trying to, invite people towards good and forbid them from the evil. You're trying to avoid the situation where another believer gets into some bad deed. But if you see a situation like here, the person is not going to listen to me, rather he's going to enter into conflict, then leave. Like even the Amr bin Maruf, even the inviting towards good is not...
it's not wajib.
It's not wajib over here. It's not obligatory over here. Well, that was an important point, that sometimes our teens tend to enter conflicts because they feel like they're inviting others towards good. That was an important point. Well, maybe we would have not paid our attention towards this one here, especially when it comes to teens. Here we'll take another short break and we'll get back to you.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaqat Abbas is here with me in the studio, and we're talking about conflict management when it comes to teens and when they are facing different circumstances. Well, for now, we said that if they teach them, like if they have to invite people towards good and they have to forbid them from the evil, they should only invite those where they see there's a possibility, there's this hope of this person listening to you. And with your different approach, you don't have to always invite people towards good by just entering a conflict actually being rude yourself. That's no way of entering, that's no way of inviting people towards Islam. Well, what other things?
So there's another hadith from Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, the 11th holy infallible Imam, where he says, do not argue as your respect will be lost. See?
All right.
So arguing brings down the respect of a person. So, you know, when we as parents, example, when we train our kids, when we train our teens, we tell them about the hadith. It means that, okay, you know what, when you are in a conflict, example, when you are at a place where something bad is happening, it's not necessary that you have to put forward your word only with argument, you see?
All right.
It's not necessary, yeah? Even through good means, you can put your word forward in front of the person. Also, there's another hadith from Imam Al-Kazim, alayhi salatu wassalam, which is a very beautiful hadith. I would say, in this conflict management topic, where the Imam says, blessed are those who bring peace and reconciliation amongst people.
All right.
They are the ones who will be close, who will be the close ones in the presence of Allah on the Day of Judgment.
MashaAllah.
So yeah. They will be the close ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So blessed are those. So the Imam is saying, peace be upon them, like peace be upon those people who bring peace, mm-hmm. you see, and reconcile people who kind of like there's dispute, now they are like making them together, you mm-hmm. see. So according to Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam, if there is a kind of conflict in home, in the house, amongst the siblings, example, amongst the parents, example,
yeah.
or amongst the parents and the teens or children, the teen himself can take a responsible step over here in order to resolve it over here, in order to get the blessings of Imam Al-Kazim al-Islam, in order to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And
yeah.
of course, the process happens from here. A person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is the same and the very person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's alive in this
yes.
world as well, you see. So I am really close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason, number one, I am not entering a conflict. Number two, I am resolving the conflict. You
yeah.
see, I am not entering the conflict. It's not because of me that the conflict is happening, you see. Number
yeah.
two, if there's a conflict, I am the one resolving it.
All right.
In a very good manner. I'm not arguing, you see.
Yeah, that's a very positive approach yeah. of looking at it. Well, thank you for your
thank
beautiful
you.
Insights. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam is? says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.